truth is our bitch. The Bill Hendry Show.
AIG is a company that is 80% owned by taxpayers.
Do you want me to answer the question? Yes. As you stand there with a picture of the president, the face to look like Hitler.
And they got, they have the best health care. It's national health care.
He's a really warm-hearted guy, a neat guy, who cared a lot about the people.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
I heart Jews.
World-famous Bill Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and Hitler's in the news. I mean, 60-plus years after this guy was incinerated in a pit behind a bunker, they're still invoking his name. They're comparing Obama now to Hitler. Of course, it was George Bush who was Hitler not too many years ago. And I remember Johnson was Hitler, and at one time they compared Nixon to Hitler. I think Ford probably was Hitler at one point. I know for a fact that Reagan was Hitler, and probably George Sr. was Hitler. And there must have been a time with Clinton in there for 8 years. Somebody must have rolled out Hitler on that one. But they're using Hitler now in the healthcare debate, the people who are opposed to the Obamacare, as they're calling it, the National Health Plan. And they rolled out Hitler in front of a Jewish guy who was talking about Israeli national health care. And then they whipped out the Hitler analogy in front of Barney Frank. It was one of the few times I've heard Barney actually be coherent, effective, and to the point as he, held this woman up who had mentioned Obama as Hitler as an example of utter imbecility. And on it goes, baby. Anyway, on the show tonight here on the Phil Hendry Show, a town hall protester shouts, Sieg Heil, to a Jewish man, although it wasn't quite as succinct as... That one. Nonetheless, we got that for you tonight. We also have more on the healthcare reform. And WorldNet Daily is earning yet another Out of Material Award as they keep milking this birther story to death. And we'll be talking with you about that one. We also have Great Minds at Work. Another example of a poll or study that, my God, how did they ever figure this one out? The most recent is that 40% of all of the stuff that's being talked about on Twitter is, quote, mindless babble. Well, now, what's up now, huh? So that's all I had on the show tonight. 877, I know that. I'm on Twitter. I'm putting up half that mindless babble. I know it's mindless. So anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the show tonight. And as we do each and every night, we videocast the show. You can go to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can take a look at me. You can figure out whether or not I'm anything that you want to continue to look at as we do the show this evening. Also alongside, of course, Bud Dickman. Say hello, Bud.
How you doing?
And Robert Leonard is doing security. Robert?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good. All right, now look. Here is the, so go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you can watch the show. You can hear the live streaming audio. You can listen to the audio downloads tomorrow, so it's on demand. And we have forthcoming that video on demand. When that'll happen, I don't know. Maybe Adolf will come back from the dead and take over, sit in the White House, ask for a cup of tea, and say, well, now, look at all the Jews. But I doubt it. All right, so Heil Hitler to pro-Obamacare Jewish man at town hall. That's right. A town hall event at Las Vegas last week became heated when a woman shouted, Heil Hitler, to a Jewish... She didn't even say it with that much panache. She said, Heil Hitler, to a Jewish man, explaining why he supports President Barack Obama's health care overhaul. At the town hall, local news stations were interviewing an Israeli man who was praising the fantastic, as he put it, national health care in Israel, and explaining that he supports similar plans in the United States. During his remarks, a woman yelled out, Heil Hitler, prompting an emotional confrontation. The woman explained to the Jewish man, you ought to be the most against President Obama. So, in other words, she said something almost monumentally ignorant. And then, in order to save herself, she did what a lot of people do in that situation, right?
Now, let me explain. See,
no. The moral high ground for you, lady, I mean, that's yesterday's news. Not only are you not on moral high ground, you're sitting in a sump someplace. The event was sponsored by our affiliate in Las Vegas, KDON, and was attended by roughly 2,000 people. Video of the incident was released only as a web extra on a local television station, but several blogs did pick this up. And this is very, very representative of the lack of intelligence, the lack of real clear debate involved in the healthcare issue, the kinds of people that are attacking not only the healthcare plan but the president. And I can tell you this, if they want to make Obama the centerpiece of their protest, That's all well and good, but I'm wondering exactly why that is. Perhaps it's because he is the lightning rod that we say that he shouldn't be. If he really wanted to do some good, I think, he might keep a lower profile, although, I could be wrong. Maybe him getting out there like he did in Montana this past weekend was a good thing. But as long as they got Obama with the ears, and whether or not he was born in Hawaii or Madagascar or on a spaceship, as long as they got Obama, they've got the lightning rod, and they can attack, and they can use the Hitler analogy, and they can, in other words, do everything in the world but argue the issue. All right, as a Jewish man discusses the benefit of national health care, a woman shouts, Heil Hitler.
When they got, they have the best health care. It's national health care in Israel. We don't get and we have Memorial Day in Israel, we respect the soldiers. We don't do mattresses sales and weekend. We respect soldiers. Here, we just talk, but we don't respect them. The guys... Did you hear this? She said to a Jew, Heil Hitler. Here? I'm a Jew. You telling me Heil Hitler? Shame of you. Shame of you.
Then later on she said,
I heart Jews.
But it was too late. Now the man confronts this bitch.
What you can tell me, Hitler? You telling me to a Jew? Heil Hitler. Shame of you. Heil Hitler.
Oh, I see.
No,
now she's being reasonable.
I want to talk not against Obama or for Obama. I want to talk about the health of Obama. I didn't have insurance. I didn't have insurance. I got to Spring Valley Hospital. 2 hours in emergency room. How much you think they asked me to pay? 2 hours. $8,000.
Did you hear that woman? She was going, in other words, she was putting her hands over her eyes, mocking this guy. So when she whipped out her Heil Hitler line, and after she couldn't really, mitigate the man's anger by saying,
I heart Jews.
Then she put her hands over her eyes and went, like that. Now, this wouldn't be the right thing to do, but I would do it anyway. And then I'd be arrested, and I should be arrested, and I'd be put in jail, and I should be. But I'd do this. I'd punch her. I'd lay out that old bitch. I don't know who she was, what she was, but there's some things, at the end of a long day.
That would be abusing a woman, though.
Yeah, man, you get in a lot of trouble for that.
Well, as Sonny Barger, the Hell's Angels, once put it in his autobiography, it happens. Every now and again, you smack a woman.
I heart Jews.
Now, here's the thing. I'm, of course, I don't know if I'd really do that. But, boy, if anybody deserved that, how about another chick walking up to her? I'd hire a woman to go up to her and beat her ass. This Hitler analogy, can we back it off a little bit, or at least listen to this, because it's important to understand every time somebody brings up Hitler, whether it's because Obama's Hitler or Bush is Hitler or the healthcare plan is Hitler or David Schuster is Hitler or Chris Matthews is Hitler or the guy that runs GE is Hitler or Bill O'Reilly is Hitler, and frankly, O'Reilly looks more like Hitler than any of them. Nobody ever wants to stop and ask, well, exactly what was life like under Adolf Hitler? Because people don't know. First of all, let me say this. Oh, I know what it was like, Phil. It was terrible. No, it wasn't terrible for anybody listening to me right now who isn't Jewish, a gypsy, a homosexual, black, or, a Slav, like a member of the Slavic race. If you're a European, a Western European, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, in the beginning, it was great. No, you wouldn't have a problem with Hitler. If Hitler took over the United States tomorrow, if Hitler became the head of the United States government tomorrow, and everyone was saying Obama's Hitler, and we might as well have Hitler because it's the same. All right, so let's say we dig up old Fritz and we stick his ass in the White House and he's kicking. And here's what he would do. First of all, he'd take all the Jews, stick them in cattle cars, the gypsies, all of that. Now, the rest of us, we'd be fine. We wouldn't care. It's not affecting us. Unemployment would go down. People would be back to work. See? The military would be expanded. The Versailles Treaty and all of the insulting and terrible things that were done to America would be ripped up, and he would be talking all this great stuff about America, right? So we wouldn't care that the Jews were taken away. We wouldn't care that the gypsies were taken away, because we're not gypsies, we're not Jews. Well, Phil, we're Americans. No, we're Americans, really? You mean the kind of Americans that stand there and say Heil Hitler to a Jewish guy speaking on behalf of national health care in Israel? A woman who's telling a man in Israel that his support for a national health care plan is paying allegiance to a fascist dictator. That broad wouldn't mind, because that guy she was just talking to, he'd be in a cattle car. So she'd be walking around, she'd be doing fine. Now, the other people that would be arrested would be maybe a few people that are listening to me right now, who may consider themselves very courageous people, and they would be political dissidents. And those people were sent to concentration camps too. So I would imagine that would be the overwhelming majority of people that are listening to this broadcast right now. Maybe people listening to me right now would consider themselves, well, I'm not Jewish, and I'm not a gypsy, and I'm not black, I'm not Slavic, but I would be a political dissident. I would be against Hitler. Really? You would, huh? Because the first thing they do with your ass is they take you down to Gestapo headquarters. Now, what they did at the Gestapo headquarters was the following. They would either put your testicles in a vise, which is what they did with a lot of the men. They would beat you with different kinds of batons on your feet, on your arms, on your legs. They wouldn't care about your rights. They wouldn't care about your due process. They never even heard of it. So after you had your testicles put in a vise and you were hooked up to electrodes and you were beaten about the face and the elbows and the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet with these rubber truncheons and basically tortured for a few hours until you either recanted or told them the names of the other people that you're with, and you would tell them, you don't even need to discuss that, then they would haul you in front of a people's court, where you would have a lawyer and he wouldn't say anything. And there'd be a man sitting there by the name of Roland Freisler, who was the head of the People's Court, and he would begin to rip you a new ass, telling you what a degenerate you are, telling you what a disgrace you are, telling you how dare you do this to the people and to the great Nazi state of America. And then they would take you off to the guillotine. Now, the guillotine in Germany was not like the guillotine in France that we all remember from school books. It was very small. It looked like a workout bench. You lay down.
Lift a few weights.
Will you shut up for a minute? You'd lay down on this bench. They'd stick your head through the hole. Bang, down comes the blade. Your head's rolling on the floor, man, before they have dinner. So from the time you're arrested to the time you spill your guts to the Gestapo after the torture to the time that your head is rolling on the floor, a matter of hours, maybe 6 hours. Okay? And political dissidents in Germany were among the most courageous. As I say, these are probably the people that a lot of folks listening to me right now would consider themselves a part of, the political dissident movement, right? Because they think they've got Hitler there with Obama. Because if it really was Hitler, not only would your ass be arrested, you wouldn't have a lawyer, you'd have the crap kicked out of you and beaten out of you, and you'd tell them anything that they wanted to hear, and you'd tell it twice if they wanted to hear it twice, and you put a little flourish on the third story, and you might even add a few fictitious characters from J.R.R. Tolkien. You'd say anything that they wanted you to say, you'd tell them anything that they wanted you to tell, and then they would send you off to the court, and they would make you hold your pants up because they try to humiliate you and not give you a belt to wear, and then you go off to the guillotine, and they cut your freaking head off, and within the time you were arrested to the time your head has been cut off, it's hours, not days, not weeks, not years, not hours. And, of course, if you weren't summarily executed, you'd be sent to a concentration camp where they were very happy to use you for medical experiments. Oh, yeah, political prisoners as well as Russian POWs and Jews were used for medical experiments, injecting dye into your eyeball, cutting muscles to see how it would make you limp, sticking you in ice water for hours to find out how you would survive, airmen would survive. They would put you in a high-pressure tank and turn the pressure all the way up until your ears started to flow blood, till your brain exploded in your skull. Burn you with acid without an anesthetic, remove the uteruses from perfectly healthy women, remove organs from perfectly healthy people to see whether or not the person can survive. They would just look at you like you're a guinea pig. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. This is what would happen in America if we really did have Hitler here. And to say that Obama or Bush or any American president is even remotely like Adolf Hitler is a gratuitous cheapening of what happened to the people of Europe, the state of Germany, the Jewish people of Europe. It's a cheap mocking of what happened. I dare say anybody who invokes the name of Hitler and really means it hates Jews. Hates them, because why else would you mock and cheapen an era of history that was so profoundly tragic and traumatic that it changed the course of the world for God knows how many hundreds of years to come. And if you survived the concentration camp and you survived the guillotine and you survived the beatings and the relentless rifle butts to your face and trying to kill yourself by electrocuting yourself on a wire or trying to kill yourself by hanging yourself with a shoelace, and you finally made it to the bitter end, you'd weigh about 70 pounds, and the first piece of food you got, you'd gobble down because you're starving, and that'd kill you. So you die even while receiving treatment from people who wanted to help you. The food that you ate would kill you. See, that's what happened, and that's just a piece, just a slice of what happened in Nazi Germany. Anyone that thinks that America is Nazi Germany is just plain stupid. The fact is, people who use the word Hitler in relation to an American president don't mean it. They just don't think it was all that big of a deal. They think it was a time when Jews were having a ball and it was overrated and maybe it never even really happened, so they might as well just kind of throw it around. Coming up, Barney Frank takes on another dumbass that uses the Hitler analogy. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And Barney Frank was at a town hall meeting. Where the hell was this? On Tuesday night, and I guess it was somewhere. It was in Dartmouth, okay? And Barney was up against it with some other jackass that had the Hitler signs.
They say we need to limit Medicare expenditures
Listen to this idiot.
That's the origin of this policy. This is the T4 policy of the Hitler, of a Hitler policy in 1939, where he said certain lives are not worth living. Certain people, we should not spend the money to keep them alive.
Hitler,
which is exactly
evil.
What Ezekiel Emanuel has said. So my question to you, one, is this policy is actually already on its way out. It already has been defeated by LaRouche. My question to you is, why do you continue to support a Nazi policy? Obama has expressly supported this policy, why are you supporting it? A real solution.
When you ask me that question, I am going to revert to my ethnic heritage and ask to your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time?
So here old Barney really rips her an ass.
Do you want me to answer the question? Yes. As you stand there with a picture of the president, the face to look like Hitler, and compare the effort to increase health care to the Nazis, my answer to you is, as I said before, it is a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Ma'am, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
All right, here Frank defends the public option against arguments that kills competition.
If the private plan provides better, faster service and doesn't restrict, then it will prosper. The public plan, it's up to the people. People aren't stupid. The public plan does not have a subsidy. It doesn't have the profit. The profit that goes to the private insurer's stockholders will be out of there. So the question is, and these are the two competing poles, a public plan would have less upfront expenses, but people fear that it would be too restrictive in terms of choices. If it is, rational people won't join it. So that's the answer.
All right. So that was Barney Frank at a town hall meeting on Tuesday night. That lady had a picture of Hitler. You know, you heard what he was talking about. And she was talking about a euthanasia program that was in effect in the late 30s in Germany, which was ended, by the way. It was one of the few times that Hitler actually listened to the will of the people. There was so much outrage. There was the churches, the Catholic Church, the Protestant churches were so against it that he suspended the program, but it was essentially to euthanize people who were emotionally disabled, mentally retarded, people who were physically disabled, kill them outright, put them in a gas chamber. This woman comparing Medicare and Medicaid being downsized in favor of the public health option to the euthanasia program of Hitler, either she is that stupid or this is where the argument's gone because they got nothing else, baby.
Phil Hendry.
We'll be back. WorldNet Daily's out of material.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're here at El Pacifico where it was socked in again, cloudy, and almost like it was winter today, man. We had on sweaters and felt like lighting the whole house on fire today, man. And it's summer. It's August. Ain't it supposed to be, like, hot?
Yeah, it's supposed to be hot, but sometimes it's not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it seems like that.
Well, it ought to be hot, man. It's August, and I'm down here at the beach. At least it ought to be somewhere in the, you know, 70, 80, something like that. But it looked like it was winter. And, I mean, it was cold and cloudy, but you drive a mile inland, and suddenly the sun is beating down for all of God and man. It's 150 degrees, and people are dropping from the heat. It's weird, man. It's all jacked up. All right, 877-876-PHIL coming up. Obama's MySpace page says he's 52, according to WorldNet Daily, which means it probably doesn't say that. Here is Jeff in Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight, Jeff?
Hey, Phil. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thank you.
I had a quick comment to make about the healthcare side of things. I agree that healthcare needs a quick fix, but I don't think Obama's plan satisfies the actual overall problem, which is rising costs. And the best way I've been able to just associate it to myself is with a quick analogy. And imagine if you build rocking chairs for a living, you know you have to sell it for $10 to be able to live a comfortable life. But you know that all of your payers, either a single payer or multiple payers, will only pay you 50% of your cost, then you're going to jack up your price by double. So, of course, you know, that's an analogy for healthcare companies, both private and any public healthcare forum or whatever they put together. That's what I think is the biggest problem. And, I mean, if you're a doctor trying to run a business or a hospital trying to run a business, whether it's not-for-profit or for-profit, you know something costs $2,000, but you're only going to pay 25% through Medicare or healthcare companies, then I'm going to jack it up 400%, so I'll make sure I get my 25%. And then the uninsured are pretty much screwed.
And then you're going to get paid the rest by Medicare itself.
Is that
the insurance company pays part? Medicare will pay part.
That's the new plan?
Okay. No, the way it works right now, you're telling me that doctors do work for half the money that they ordinarily would get if a cat walked in and paid cash. And that's not the case. That's not the case.
Oh, well, then I didn't realize
it's not the case at all. No. Well, I don't know. You've used your insurance, I'm sure, when you go to the doctor, right?
I do, yeah. I get an EOD and everything.
Okay, the insurance company gives them the insurance company will knock off your deductible, whatever it is, if you still need to pay your deductible. If not, and they pay in full the doctor.
Well, I see all the time about, you know, Medicare payoff is what, 46%.
Well, Medicare is a different ballgame. Medicare is a 40-plus-year-old plan that was originally in place for the elderly who couldn't afford medical insurance.
Right.
And so the doctors would be remitted a certain amount by the plan, right. and it was augmented by any insurance that the individual may or may not have, whatever cheap plan, if any at all, they had. So the Medicare, and if you talk to a lot of doctors, they'll tell you, you know, most of my business is Medicare business. All right, most of your business is Medicare business. All right, I guess maybe you can shift away from that now, and you can go for the real, you know, the real business that's going to cover the entire cost and your profit, whatever that may be. Because we all know that Medicare is a broken program. We know a lot of these things don't work, but everybody keeps bringing up Medicare like that's a classic example of what's going to happen with a national plan, and it isn't.
Well, what I thought
the national plan is an option that you can choose if you want or not, as the case may be.
Well, I was under the impression that even private healthcare companies, they were matching the Medicare payout. So, because, I mean, it makes sense. If you're a private healthcare company and the government's only willing to pay, you know, this cut of it, then the private healthcare companies are going to do the same. So that's
But then they pass. Then they jack up my premium. They jack up my premium. They jack up your premium. Right. They jack up the premiums of all the other people that are paying full price. They're not hurting at all.
Well, it's still
they're not hurting at all. They're not only are they jacking up our premiums. They're also taking into consideration their profit margin that they set for the year or for the quarter. So they're jacking up the premium to cover the cost, and they make you know full well they're not going to sacrifice their profit margin. So if we're going to make our 4% this year, we'll jack the price up, then it's got to be this because we got to make our 4%.
Right,
I mean, we've got this some idea that the health insurance companies are in it for charity and for the love of man and for the milk of human kindness that pumps through their veins. Since when was that the case? These guys are there to make money just like everybody else. They're able to they're able to get the money back from you and from me, and in addition, they're able to keep their profits high so that we're entitled to make a dollar. I don't see where these guys have been hurting at all. Now along comes a national plan that may be something people opt for. And I'm told that the health insurance companies now are going to be run out of business by a government plan out of the same mouths of people that tell me the government can't do anything right and the government's never been able to run any program and the government, everything that it touches turns to crap. So it depends on the day of the week and which way the wind's blowing. Is the government going to put a national plan in place that is a disaster and won't be able to fix anything, or a plan in place that is so effective it drives health insurance companies out of business?
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts on reducing just general costs?
I got to run. General costs. Make it competitive the American way. So if you've got a national plan that forces the health insurance companies to cut down the profit margin a little bit, that'll reduce costs. Thanks for your call very much, sir. I appreciate it. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. I just want to say that I'm a huge fan of you.
Thank you.
And that's what everyone needs. I have worked in the service industry. I deal with people. That's what I do. I pretty much wait tables. I'm trying to finish a degree. Anyway,
Man, you're going through the time tunnel now, man. You got the time tunnel going on. Say it again. You work in the what business? What business do you work in?
I wait tables right now until I finish my degree. And my number one rule: people are stupid. I believe Obama became president because people are stupid. They'll vote for a historic moment instead of what someone believes in. And I believe we'll pass this health care plan because, rule number two, people are only in it for themselves. You ever read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie?
Yeah, it's about 100 years old. Yeah, huh?
Yeah, it's written in 1932. Great book. And it has a rule on that people care about themselves and are only motivated.
Yeah, that's the existential reality. That's the existential reality, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That's not a news flick.
Because of
right.
that. And
the health care plan is going to be what?
It's going to be passed because of that. I don't like the health care plan because of the points it makes, and I will vote.
Why would the health care plan pass because of that? If it's covering 40 million uninsured people, why would I care whether or not they get insured?
Yeah, you're not going to care, so you're not even going to write your senator.
If I'm in it for myself, then I'm not going to be in favor of a health care plan, and I wouldn't have voted for Obama.
But people who aren't insured outnumber the people who actually care about what's going on.
Wait a minute. You just said that the rule of thumb is that people only care about themselves, right?
Right. And if
so, why would I vote for a health care plan that's going to cover uninsured people who mean nothing to me? They're not members of my family, and I don't know them, so why would I care?
Well, if you're a senator and you're going to vote for this, you're going to have more power. You're going to have more control over people's lives.
What about me, the citizen? The guy that, wait a minute, you just got done talking about Obama got elected because people only care about themselves.
Okay. You, the citizen, are you going to vote on this bill? No, you're just going to write your congressman.
I voted for Obama.
Well, I'm glad you voted for Obama. Because
I'm only in it for myself.
You have your opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion. That's fine. I know plenty of.
But I'm trying to take your line of thinking. Are you listening? What you're telling me that people are. The bottom line is everybody's in it for themselves. The reason why they voted for Obama is it was a historic moment. Okay, and they don't really give a crap about a health care plan, and they don't care whether the 40 million uninsured die and blow away. And so I don't know how all of this is playing into your philosophy of the human race. If we only care about ourselves, we voted for Obama, and that was a historic moment. Now comes his health care plan. I ain't going to support it because I don't give a crap about what happens to people.
All right.
And my elected representative.
I'll just generalize there for a second. But intelligent people like you who vote for Obama actually have reasons to vote. Most of the people, if not all the people I know that have voted for Obama because he's either black or just because he's a Democrat.
Well, I mean, that's not a very – I don't know how scientific that is. I don't know what that means. I don't know who you are and who you know. I mean, that's not a very scientific subsection. I mean, most of the people that I know are in broadcasting. That means that most of them are weird asses, and I would never use any of them as an example of the American people. Okay? Barack Obama was, yes, African-American, but we've had other black people attempt the presidency before.
Oh,
Barack Obama is a president that has articulated an activist kind of agenda for a president, a little bit more of an involved president that people liked. They felt the country needed a direct hand. He has talked at ad nauseum about a national health care plan. It isn't anything that was a secret. People knew this going in. He talked about it during a campaign. Healthcare costs was a big part of what he was talking about when he was running for president. And so it's not a surprise that he's bringing this up now. And as we find out, you know, people who are opposed to this plan are in the minority. Because if you look at these polls, and Mark, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it very much tonight. If you look at the polls, folks, there is no poll out there that says, I'm against Obama's health care plan. There's nothing out there that says, you know, 60, 70% are against Obama's health care plan. The polls that I've seen as recently as last Friday say the following. We do need a national health care plan. I don't know whether Obama's plan will be effective or not. I don't know whether any health care plan will be effective or not, but we need one. Then we have a poll of how many people like their primary care. 68 to 70% like their primary care. And they would not opt for a national health plan. That simply means that they like the plan they have now. They would not need to go to the national plan or the insurance exchange. That doesn't mean that they don't like the idea of a national plan. It means I, myself, just speaking for me and my family, I would like my own insurance. I will keep my own insurance, and that's the way it's going to be. Nowhere does it say the American people are opposed to a national health care plan. Now, what we have been treated to over the last 2 weeks, and I am as guilty as anybody for focusing on these town hall meetings where the, you know, Obama is Hitler crew shows up with, you know, their little brushed mustaches and their doctored photographs of Obama if they ain't got the Joker picture. I mean, all they had to do, they probably borrowed a bunch of pictures of George Bush's Hitler and they just kind of darkened him up a little bit. What we've been treated to is a parade of images showing a lot of people getting pissed off and punching each other out of town hall meetings, but we now know, of course, that most of the town hall meetings that have taken place across the country have been pretty civil, and people have talked a lot about what is needed, what isn't needed, what's your idea, I don't know, what do you think, okay, let's break, have some coffee, bring in some Danish, we'll take a, you know, we'll go to the afternoon session, and everything is chill, right? But, you know, I broke my own rule, which is make sure you recognize first what the source of the news is. Find out what's really going on and make sure people know that. And all we talked about were these town hall meetings. But the fact is, most of the town hall meetings across the country were very civil. And then the other thing that we've talked about on this show, and it's so important that I will never tire of telling you about it, because this, if there's nothing else that you guys learn from this radio show, not that this is a place where you come to learn things, but let me just say, if there's anything you want to take away from the show, it's the following. Right now, there is a historic war going on in the mass media for consumers. Many weak news and information disseminating entities such as newspapers and magazines and broadcast entities are going, you know, they're going belly up. They're going by the wayside. They're getting blown right off the road by the new media of the internet, by much of what's happening in talk radio, by much of what's happening in talk television. So there's this war for consumers and this war for advertisers and this war for money. And that means the very first thing that's going to get sacrificed is the actual truth. Because can you win with the truth, or can you win with this pretty picture you paint of this crazy world that's really fascinating, like a bunch of cats in town hall meetings beating each other over the head with chairs? Which are you going to watch?
Are you going to watch a TV show that tells you, here's a town hall meeting in Olympia, Washington, and everyone was sitting there, and they were polite, and they were straightening their socks, and they had their thumbs in their ears, and the guy was up there saying, and another thing here in the plan, and it was just fantastic, and please watch our TV station. Or are you going to go over to the channel that shows a guy beating the crap out of another guy with the butt of a rifle out in front of an auditorium where they're having a town hall meeting? You know what you're going to watch. You know what everybody's going to watch. They're going to watch the one with the town hall meeting. You're going to watch that, you're going to get your news from there, and you're going to think that that's what's going on across the country. And do you think the guys that are giving you that news care whether it's actually happening or not? Whether that's really the face of the healthcare debate or not? They don't care. All they care is that you watch. And like I said last night, and take this to the bank, you think politicians are lying to you. I'm going to tell you right now, the politicians are the least of your worries. The politicians are the most honest people in the world compared to the talking heads and yapping voices that many of us take as authority. Television and radio lies far more frequently than any politician in the history of the world. In the history of the world. Now, there's something you haven't heard on any other radio show, on any other television show. I'm laying it out there right now straight, baby, because we can entertain on this show even by telling the truth. That's right. We find the truth entertaining because, well, you know. All right. So 877-876 is the number here. Now, Cash for Clunkers has boosted Japanese car sales. Does that mean that Cash for Clunkers is a bad idea? Well, what it means is people are bringing in their clunkers and they're getting cash and they're buying Japanese cars because they don't want to buy any of that Detroit junk. That's what that means. But at least they're getting a car that they like. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL, Obama's MySpace page. Says that he's 52 years old. So whoever put up that page, Mr. President, I think it's time for the guillotine. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget at twitter.com/realphilhenry, facebook.com/philhenry, and our website with live streaming video and audio tonight, philhenryshow.com.
I've been vegetarian for 7 years, going on 8.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Cuddle with me.
Okay, 8-7, I just wanted to know what that was.
Cuddle with me.
It's something I found on the internet. I think it's funny to use. We'll be able to use it in a show and everything.
Good thinking, bud. 877-876-PHIL, 877, is that the same place where you got
Johnny Diablo?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got WorldNet Daily going on and 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 on about where Obama was born. Was he born here? Is he born here? Has he been born yet? Was he hatched? What if he was hatched in the United States? Not born, but hatched. Is that constitutional? Here is Vlad in Boston. Vlad, thanks for joining the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks for having me on, Phil. I wanted to present you with a scenario where, you know, this public option that you say won't have any effect really and is a more of a choice of the people, actually won't be a choice of the people, and it will actually degrade healthcare overall. The scenario I'm presenting is, first of all, let's ask the question of how many people out there actually choose the health care that they have. I would argue that very few, if any, maybe probably 5-10% of the people out there are actually on a private plan. Most people have a health care system, health care insurance system that is provided for them through their employer, correct?
Well, yeah, but that's still a private plan.
Well, it's a private plan, but it's not their choice. The employer chooses it for them.
We could argue perhaps how many, but let's say for the sake of argument, you're right that most of us get our insurance through our employer, for instance, and it is not necessarily one that we choose, but it's one that's offered by our employer.
Okay, great. So going forward from that supposition, we'll say that we'll infuse this public option. Suddenly, instead of, you know, just the big insurers, the Blue Cross and Aetna and whatever, that, you know, there's this public option. And the public option, the way I understand it, is going to be essentially a way for government to fix prices at a level where they deem, you know, the price should be.
It's a competitive plan. To the extent where any competition fixes a price, I don't understand quite where you arrive at fixing a price. If it's a competitive plan and people opt for that, the thinking is the health insurers, the private health insurers, will lower their price to attract customers back.
Well, if that's the argument, then but just
well,
by
that is the argument. That's exactly the argument.
Okay. Well, if that is the argument, then just by virtue of having multiple insurers, isn't there already competition in the market?
Competition in the market. It's like competition for food. Is the price of food high? Yes. Is there competition? Yes. But the fact is, people need food, and it's all coming from a private stock, a variety of different providers, a variety of different brokers. But it's still a very pricey commodity. By putting a public plan that is not profit motivated into the mix, you now enter into the fray a plan that people can opt for that is not motivated by profit, so therefore it doesn't have to show, quote-unquote, a profit per se, and introduces a kind of competition that heretofore may result in lower prices by the private providers. Now, I realize that all sounded very academic, but I got to take a break. Phil Hendry. That's me.